This is Day to Day. I'm Noah Adams. In a few minutes, thoughts from a truck driver whose driving companion is a cardboard cutout of the president. But first, Afghanistan is the world's leading producer of opium and therefore a major source of heroin. Poppy fields dot the Afghan countryside. The U.S. and other countries are stepping up efforts to stop trafficking and enforce Afghanistan's new anti-drug laws. From Kabul, Rachel Martin reports now on how new counter-narcotics teams are trying to curb the country's drug trade.
It's a good day for Kabul's new narcotics police team. After getting a tip from one of their undercover operatives, one team brings in a beat-up gray Toyota van to police headquarters. Half a dozen agents search under car seats and tire rims. They're looking for drugs, opium, heroin, or hashish. But all they find in this car is a big straw bag filled with a black, fine-grained substance. General Saeed Aziz, the head of the Afghan counter-narcotics police, explains its significance.
This is the carbon they're making the heroin for the process of the heroin.
A few minutes later, his second counter-narcotics team returns. They've brought in 13 kilos of raw opium and arrested two men smuggling the drugs from Kandahar to Kabul. Mir Mohammed is one of the traffickers. His weathered, wrinkled face makes him look much older than his 48 years. He says his wife is sick with heart problems, and he was trying to sell the drugs so he could afford to buy her medicine.
This is my first time. I know I was trying to get some money. This is my first time.
But General Aziz says that doesn't matter. He says everyone in Afghanistan must be held accountable for breaking the country's drug laws.
We will arrest them, we will put them in the jail. This is the law in Afghanistan, according to the law. They will know about it. In case somebody, they're trafficking 5 kilos of the heroin, he must be more than 10 years in the jail. So when he know this, they will stop it.
There are a handful of new counter-narcotics teams working in Kabul and 14 more around the country. Since taking to the streets 2 months ago, these teams have seized more than 1,600 kilograms of opium and 85 kilograms of heroin. They've also arrested dozens of smugglers, growers, and dealers. But that's not even a small dent in Afghanistan's drug trade. Opium production in the country topped out at about 3,600 tons last year, 6% more than the year before. A staggering three-quarters of the world's opium came out of Afghanistan. The British have taken the lead in trying to change these numbers. They've helped organize and advise counter-narcotics teams around the country. The U.S. is also joining the effort by bringing in more American counter-narcotics agents to help train Afghan teams and help create a special prosecution and detention system for drug offenders. Mirwais Yassini is the Director General of Afghanistan's counter-narcotics agency. He says the biggest challenge in Afghanistan's fight against drugs isn't shutting down the drug labs or finding alternative crops for poppy growers. It's dealing with top-level government corruption.
It is like when a doctor do a surgery. As long as the gloves of the doctor is not clean, well, that will give other problems to the patient. So if you have corrupt officer, it is like the doctor with a corrupt gloves. The operation will be never successful.
Drugs have long been a steady income source for corrupt leaders in Afghanistan. According to official estimates, Taliban taxes on drugs brought in close to $40 million a year until international pressure and a gluttony opium market forced the Taliban to ban poppy cultivation in 2001. Today, warlords and government officials in provinces like Badakhshan in the north and Nangarhar east of Kabul along the Pakistani border rely on the drug trade to finance their militias and secure their regional power. Western officials here say there's growing evidence that links Afghanistan's illegal drug industry with the Taliban and terrorist organizations. And unless the drug trade is dealt a major blow, they warn Afghanistan will again become the failed state that gave birth to the Taliban and made the country a safe haven for Al-Qaeda. Mirwais Yassini says that's a risk the world can't afford to take.
There are frustrations, but the cause is so sacred because it's a holy war. We have to fight it. God forbid if this problem goes forever. Once again, Afghanistan will be marginalized and will be alienated for the international community as it was in the time of Taliban. And we definitely don't want to see that.
Western officials say the next step is finding the money and manpower to tackle the problem. Until then, Afghan counter-narcotics teams will continue to fight the drug problem, one tip-off, one trafficker, and one car search at a time. For NPR News, I'm Rachel Martin in Kabul.